Welcome, everybody. How you doing? Hope you're doing well. My name's Jamie. I'm the pastor of East Cup Church, and we've been in the middle of a three-week series called A Lamp Unto My Feet, A Lamp Unto Your Feet. And we've been talking about those moments in life when you have a decision to make, a problem to solve, a relationship to manage, a mistake to correct, a circumstance to overcome, an opportunity to take advantage of, and you're not sure what to do. You're not sure where to go. You're not sure how to get from where you are to where you hope to be. You need and you want some light. I don't know where my lantern is. Oh, it's not. I used to have a lantern. It's okay. For the path ahead. You want some light for the path ahead. You could really just use a little bit of light. Like, hey, what should I do? And this series is about that. Three ways that you can bring light. You can find light for the path ahead in 2022. But as I've said every week so far, it's actually, for many of us, it's about something even more profound than that. It's about the fact, as King David said from ancient Israel a long time ago, as he said in the Psalms, that God wants to light your way this year. As he wrote, King David wrote, God is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And this crazy, amazing idea of our faith that God himself wants to personally get involved in your life to light the way and show you where to go. And he wants to get involved in your decisions and your problems and your relationships and your opportunities and so on and so forth. And his desire is to protect you and prepare you and prosper you along the way as you go forward in 2022. And this series is about three ways that you and I can experience God lighting the way forward in the coming year. Or in Christian terms, there's three ways that you can experience the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, leading you through whatever it is that you're gonna face and wherever it is that you're gonna go. But like I've said, even if you're not a Christian or not sure that you believe in God, these three things are absolutely for you because they're as practical as they are religious. They're as practical as they are spiritual. And I think they'll just bring light to your path wherever it is that you are going. So week one, we talked about, it was the most religious of the three. We talked about that God's word itself is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That the Bible, the scriptures, we talked a whole lot about what they are. But they're not simply somewhere that God has spoken. They're some place and some books of that were the books and letters through which God is speaking. He didn't just spoke in. He is speaking and he has something to say to you. And maybe if we read and heard what he had to say, he could be a lamp to our feet and light to our path. We talked about that week one. In week two, we talked about a completely different subject. We talked about the people close to us in life, like your friends, your inner circle, and how they have such a profound impact on you. As Solomon said, that as they go, you go. As they go, you're gonna go. And if you would let God choose and influence and even inform who sits to your right and to your left in life, he will use those people to be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path and lead the way. And they'll speak through them. And many of you have experienced that. And you guys experienced that in small group and Inside Out. And that was number two. And then number three I wanna talk about today, and it's just as practical and just as powerful as the first couple that we have talked about. And to get us thinking in the right direction, confetti is everywhere. I'm going to slip on this too. To get us thinking in the right direction, I just got a quick question for you. Does anybody in the room ever have a moment, I mean maybe just a moment, when you kind of miss the shutdown of 2022? I mean, by no means do I mean the pandemic that caused it. I just mean just the shutdown piece. I know by the time it was done, we were so sick of Zoom. You were so sick of being cooped up at home. And I think everybody was like, get me out of here. But man, there was like a window of time where it was glorious, like this small little window where it was like, are you kidding? Or at least for me, because it was in a moment, it was like everything just got canceled. You know, I was nowhere to go. There was no commute to work. There was no school drop off. I got four little kids. There were no practices. There were no meetings. There were no appointments. There were no like social engagements that you said yes to 6 months ago. And you're like, why do we do that? And like, you know, there was none of that. It was just like you and your sweatpants sitting on your couch with your Netflix and your Zoom account. And, you know, whatever, watching Tiger King or whatever it is you were watching, binging there and then, and your family doing whatever they were doing, trying to stay sane, you know. And look, when it was done, I know we were all glad that it was done, but I have my moments. I got my moments where I'm like, I kind of miss it. I kind of miss it. And that's not actually what I want to talk about. What I really want to talk about is the moment that the shutdown ended and our lives came back online. That's what I want to talk about. Because there was this big moment where everything kind of began opening back up and we were faced with the task of rebuilding our lives, rescheduling our lives, refilling our lives. And if you were paying attention, you got a front row seat to how your life was built because you rebuilt it. You rescheduled it. And that's what I want to talk about today for a few minutes. I want to talk about what we built. I want to talk about what we scheduled. And here's why, because I've been thinking a lot about my life, my current schedule, and all that I got going on. And I also spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks asking a bunch of you, and if you're here, you know who you are, just randomly asking some of you, like, tell me about your current schedule and your current life. And I spent a lot of time doing that. And it turns out that, man, almost every single one of us agree that we have had a similar experience. We have seen a similar phenomenon at work in our lives as we have rebuilt and rescheduled them, or as we are rebuilding and rescheduling them even still to this day. And I wanted to illustrate what it is that I have not only heard from you, but I have seen in my own life that I think almost universally we are experiencing in our lives. And it's this right here. Like, let's just say, let me get the confetti out of here, because let's just say this is your life right here. This is your life. Let's say this is your life. This is a given day. This is a given week. This is a given month or year of your life. And then everything else here, like these two things, this is the stuff that you put in your life. These are the activities of your life. These are the things that you put on your calendar. This is your life. And for most of us, when it comes to our life, observation number one that I have made and asking so many of you and even just looking at my own life, observation number one is that there is a whole category of things, there's a whole category of things that just go into our life by default. Go into our life by default, things that without even having to think about it, without even really having to schedule it, they just get put in our lives. We just drop them in our lives. And this stuff includes like life stuff. Like, for example, it includes sleeping. Did you know that, I looked this up, it's kind of bothered me, that we'll spend about 1/3 of our lives, you know, sleeping. So, you know, there's sleep, okay? There's just sleep. Like, wow, okay. But it's more than that. Life stuff like hygiene, you know, like I gotta get ready in the morning, gotta brush your teeth, gotta take a shower, you know, it's eating. You gotta eat, you know, however many times a day you eat. By default, goes in there. So there's a whole bunch of life stuff that's in this category that's just in here by default. But this category also includes like all the, you know, other random stuff of life, the relatively unimportant stuff that you want to do or that you have to do. You know, stuff like texting or social media or shopping. So we need to hold it there for a minute. or like mowing your lawn. You know, this is putting batteries in your kids' toys or changing the oil in your car, you know? This is that kind of stuff. It's like watching, you know, Netflix, which we need to keep that one going for a minute. There we go. It's like, you know, watching Netflix, or it's like watching college football or playing golf or getting your nails done. I mean, you know, and you name it. It's like all those random things. Playing video games, doing Wordle, and I don't know, tending your tomatoes if you have those in your yard. I've been talking to somebody the other day. It's like, I tend a lot of tomatoes. So there it is. This is this stuff. It's the random as you go stuff of life that just goes in by default without even thinking about it. And observation number one that I had is that almost all of us, I'm almost to a T, every single person that I talk to, that we just have, like we have a baked in, grandfathered in, institutionalized, habitualized, canonized base level. Of the life stuff and the random stuff that just goes in by default, off the top, right out of the gate, without even thinking about it. And, you know, this is just like, comes with your life, you know? And you've probably spent years refining what this is. This is just the base package of your unique life. And that was observation number one I had. But of course, this isn't all that we have in our lives. I mean, of course it's not, because on top of the things that just kind of go in by default, we also have the things that we put in by design, right? Things that we put in on purpose, like your priorities. It's a word for it. It's a word we have for it. Your priorities, the things that are important to you, like things that you value and you expect of yourself, things that those around you and those close to you, what things they value and that they expect or want or need of you, things that, hey, even God values and that he wants for you and from you. And these are all different kinds of things. I mean, they're things like your career, okay? Like what you do for work and all the things you have to do for that and the hours you spend there and being good at it and getting your deadlines and all the stuff your bosses want you to do. Or how about parenting? I mean, that's a big priority. If you have kids, it's huge. I got 4 of them. And I mean, this is all the stuff that you got to do as a parent and try to figure out and get them here and get them there and wipe that nose, and there's poo over there, and like, oh my goodness, you know, at least that's my stage of life right now. Or it's like your health. I know we said there was just like sleep goes in and eating goes in, but like this is the extra effort that you have to put in to get those hours that will keep you rested rather than staying up too late. This is that effort you got to put in to actually eat healthy food so that you have like, you know, the bod that you want to have or whatever. And, you know, you put your health in there. That's what goes on top. Or, hey, how about like your talents or your hobbies or something that you're really good at? It's not just your career, but something that you love to do. And, you know, you make time for that or you do sometimes some here somewhere. Or how about your friendships? I mean, that's a big one. That's a big piece of your life that goes in on top. Let's just like shove that sucker in there. Let me arrange these a little better here. Yeah, and like this is whether at work or home or neighborhood or whatever, the people that you hang with. And then your marriage, you know, we got a marriage. If you're married or you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, that other significant other relationship that you got to invest in and nurture and grow and all that and deal with and get through the good times and the hard times, you're going to just, should have gotten a bigger vase here. Just stick that one in there. And then of course, I mean, you don't want to forget, especially if you're a Christian, you don't want to forget this one, okay? This is God. We don't want to forget him and all the things that it takes to have a relationship with God and involve him in your life and those kinds of things. And, you know, yeah, we'll just like, we just get him in there. There he is. Okay. This is exactly how life feels sometimes, isn't it? Anybody in the room just want to testify? Like, yeah, sometimes life feels like this. In fact, it kind of feels like it right now, or it did last week, or it did last season. I mean, I bet most of us in the room would go, oh yeah, yeah, I definitely know that. And that's observation number two. Do you know that 100% of the people that I talked to said yes, that they have at least a simmering sense of frustration, tension, and anxiety with how their life is currently built? I mean, because even a casual glance at this situation right here, you obviously see that there are at least two issues with what's going on with this hypothetical life. I mean, it's just an illustration. The percentages, they're not exact. This isn't a science. But you can just glance at this and see that there's at least two issues going on with this life right here. And issue number one is this, that life doesn't fit. When you live like this, your life doesn't fit. I mean, stuff, stick it out. I mean, life doesn't fit. And that's why you're stressed. It's why you are anxious. It is why you are exhausted, because there is never enough time. Anybody ever feel like there's just never enough time? Am I the only one? Anybody want to go, yeah, there's never, thank you. There you go. I'm feeling a little better now. I mean, you're like always someone or something seems like it's always getting let down just a little bit. You know, like work is frustrated because you're cutting it close on the deadline. Your spouse is frustrated because you didn't help with the thing that you said you're going to help with. And you're like, yeah, yeah, I do it. And she reminds you, you're like, stop reminding me. And then you didn't do it. And she's frustrated. You know, I've all been there. That's a hypothetical, not a real story for me. You know, your kids are frustrated because you didn't show up to that big game or the play that you said you're going to be at. And you just, you know, you got busy. Your friends are frustrated because you haven't seen them in a hot minute. And they're like, bro, where are you at? Let's hang. Your dogs are frustrated because you haven't taken them to the park in a while. And I mean, you just go on down the list. And the thing that's hard about it is you know it's not going to fix itself. You know that there's never going to come a point where it's going to be like, ta-da, and it all fits. That is not going to happen because they're just never going to fit. Because you know this, because if you give, you know, this one everything that it wants, then this one's going to get left out. And you give this one everything that it wants and requires you, then this one's going to get left out and it's just going to pass on and on and on and on and on. And to make matters worse, you have the weight and the anxiety of knowing that when something doesn't fit in here, it's almost always something important, isn't it? It's almost always something important, something that is valuable, something that costs you and hurts you and perhaps hurts those around you when it doesn't fit all the way in your life. And we all know what this is like. Maybe not this extreme, but you know what this is like. Because when you live like this, your life doesn't fit. I mean, that's just issue number one. And there's probably a bunch of them, but I want to at least say two. Issue number two is similar to it, and it's pretty important, especially if you're a Christian. The other issue with this is that God doesn't fit. Right? I don't know if you noticed that, but I mean, we got him a little bit in there. I squeezed him in. He got a little corner. But this is one of the other themes that I picked up on and just examining my own life and talking to some of you is that almost 100% of the time, when life doesn't fit, one of the rocks that's sticking out is almost always God. Like these two things tend to just go hand in hand almost 100% of the time. Life doesn't fit, and oh, by the way, that means that God's not really fitting. Not that he's absent, but he's just, you know, he's kind of, I don't know, we'll work him in. And I wonder if maybe this right here explains a lot for some of us. I know it did for me for a long time. Like, hey, have you ever wondered if God was there or why you didn't feel him? Or why I only felt like he got like bits and pieces of him? Could it be that it's because you've only ever fit a corner of him in your life? Or hey, to go to the like title of our series, have you ever wondered like why God didn't seem to lead you more, to light your way more like you wanted him to? And you're like, well, where is he? I want him to light your way more. And I'm wondering like, could it be that you, because it's because you have accidentally crowded a huge chunk of his leading and lighting out of your life? I don't know. I think it's highly possible for many of us. And today, I want to talk about a practice. Not just a principle. I want to talk about a practice. Everybody say practice. It was try it again. Remember, there's you can talk in this church. Practice. Say practice. Yeah, there you go. I want to talk about a practice that has the power to change that. I want to talk about a practice that has the power to change this. A practice that if you were to start doing it, if you were to start doing it like right now, it would not only instantly begin to make your life better and make you better at your life, but it would powerfully light your way in the year ahead. And Christians, this is a practice through which God wants to lead your way and light your way, through which the Holy Spirit wants to lead you and show you where to go in your decisions and problems and relationships and opportunities and circumstances in 2022. It's practice. And this practice is given to us by Jesus. And I think it's brilliant. It's not easy. It's not something you have literally never heard before, but it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Hey, Jesus just had this way. I don't know if you ever read the Gospels and seen this for yourself. He had this way of like getting so real and so specific that he just turns your life upside down. You ever run into something Jesus said that was that way? I think about it like this. Have you heard of the concept of a keystone habit? Anybody? It's from that book, Power Habit by Charles Duhigg, or however you say his last name. Really amazing book, you should read it. But the idea of a keystone habit is that it's like the habit. Like you, it's like finding that one habit that if you establish that habit, it'll be the catalyst for causing all the other habits in that area of your life. It's a keystone habit. And I'm telling you, that was like, I feel like that's Jesus' superpower, his brilliance as a teacher. He just had this way of giving us one thing to do, planting one habit, one practice, one decision that was so clarifying and so defining and so disruptive in a good way that it just caused everything else to fall into place. And that's exactly what he does with this issue that we all face in our lives, no matter how old we are, no matter whether we're a church person or not, Christian or not. It's exactly what he does with this. And this practice is found in the famous, most famous, longest sermon of Jesus called the Sermon on the Mount. It's recorded by the gospel writer Matthew in chapters 5, 6, and 7 of his account, Matthew. And it's this beautiful sermon. It's the longest, most important sermon of Jesus that we have. And I want to give you a little bit of context of what Jesus has been teaching, because this is a long sermon and we're going to jump right in the middle of it, but I don't want to do it without context because the context does matter. Jesus had this right before this point that we're going to come in at, he has been teaching the people to store up treasure in heaven. Store up treasure in heaven, he's been saying, because according to Jesus, a new kingdom was coming into the world, a kingdom of which he was the king. And that kingdom was called the kingdom of heaven. Or the kingdom of God, same thing. And this kingdom was the kind of kingdom that was good news for everybody, not only because of how awesome it would be, but because everyone was invited to participate in it. And so Jesus, he created this contrast in his teachings, not just in this sermon, but in other places, he created this contrast between the kingdom that is here, the world the way we know it, and the kingdom that was coming, the world the way he was gonna make it. And he has been encouraging people to live accordingly, to store up treasure in the kingdom that's coming, not the one that's going away. He even gives examples. He's like, hey, for example, I want you to have a good eye, which means a generous eye. And I want you to like help people that are in need. Go love where you live. Love as I've loved you, that kind of thing. And so that's what he's been saying. And it's at this point in the sermon that I want to pick up, because it's at this point that he like pauses that train of thought and he turns his attention to something that he thinks might keep us from doing what he's saying. He turns his attention to something that he thinks might keep us or impede us or distract us from fully participating in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. And here's what he says. He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Don't worry about it. No, go back. Just stay the other one for a second. Now, his audience is somewhat similar to ours, because some people would hear these things, what you eat, drink, and wear. They would have heard them as needs. They're trying to make those ends meet. But then, of course, many more others would hear them as desires. Like, yeah, I can't wait to go to Chick-fil-A and let's go to the mall and get some new kicks, you know? When they heard that, of course, it was received in different ways. And Jesus is saying, hey, whether it's from need or desire, don't worry about that kind of stuff. I don't want you to worry about your life and what you'll eat and drink and what you will wear. This is not what life is about. This is not what I want you to build your life on. That's where he goes on. He says, after all, is not life more than food? Is not the body more than clothes? Implied answer being, well, yeah, of course it is. Yeah, it is. So don't build your life around that. Don't make that the center, the base of your life. And then to make perhaps those who saw those things as a need that they were trying to meet just to begin with, he offers this as a consolation. He says, hey, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And I know that maybe you read this, and you should go, by the way, you should read this sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And sometimes when I read a passage like this, you might be sitting there thinking, gosh, it feels like Jesus just took like a total left turn. Like, kingdom of heaven, go store up treasure there. And then, oh, by the way, don't worry about this stuff. But here's what he's doing. It's not a left turn. He has been teaching us and teaching these people about the coming kingdom of God, and he's been inviting them to come and fully participate in it. And here at this point, because he knows how we are, what he's doing is he's pressing pause, and then he's turning his attention to this. Crazy enough, this is exactly what he turns his attention to talk about. He turns his attention to how we build our lives. Or more specifically, he turns his attention to this. He pauses his sermon, his train of thought, and he says, hey, hold on a second. I want to make sure I address something. I want to address the sand in your life, the life stuff and the random stuff that goes in by default. And he pauses his sermon and he turns his attention to this and he says, hey, don't build your life on top of this. Don't order your life around this. Don't worry so much about it or value it so much that you build your life around and on top of this. Don't do that. And it was a really hard thing, I would imagine, for some of those people to hear, because again, for some of those people, food, water, clothes, that kind of stuff, that wasn't like a desire, that was a need. They're like, hey, Jesus, I'm trying to make ends meet. We're trying to stay warm for the winter. But the confrontational part of what Jesus is saying, like, even then, even if that's the case, still then, do not build your life on top of that. Do not make that the be-all, end-all of your life. Why? Because who cares? No, because God cares. And he'll take care of you. Look at the birds. Look at the birds. Look at the birds. Because here, listen. If you're gonna do what I'm inviting you to do, remember that whole kingdom stuff I've been talking about? If you're gonna do what I'm inviting you to do, if you're gonna be who I'm inviting you to be, you are going to have to rebuild your life. You are going to have to reorder your life if you're gonna be able to fully participate in the kingdom that I've been talking about for the last 30 minutes. So don't miss it. Jesus goes on and he gives another analogy about grass of the field and the clothes that we wear. And then he repeats himself for emphasis. He comes back and he says, so do not worry. Saying it again. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. This word pagans, it's like Jewish speak for everyone else, the rest of the world. And Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry. like everyone else. Don't build your life like everyone else, because that makes you mess it up like everyone else. I want you to stop doing that. Stop doing that so that you can be free to do something else. So that you can be free to do the one thing that could change everything. And this is the practice. This is the, he's about to give us that keystone habit, that keystone practice that is so clarifying and defining and disruptive that it's gonna cause everything else to fall in its place. And here's what he says. He said, but, or instead, rather than all that, but seek first. Everybody say, seek first. But seek first. This word seek, it's a pretty aggressive word. It means to crave, to demand, to like, you're going hard after it. It's not a little passive word, like, oh, I kind of want it. He's like, I want you to go after. Seek, and I want you to seek first. According to Jesus, when it comes to your life, what you put in first is a really big deal. Did you know that? Like, it's not just important what you put in, it's important how you put it in. It's important what you put in first. That's what makes all the difference. And here comes the practice. Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Jesus says, but seek first. Here's the big practice. I want you to seek first. And then he reaches for the most important thing that he could possibly say, the subject of his sermon up until this very moment. The kingdom, the coming kingdom of God. And he said, hey, here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop building your life like you always do and building your life like everybody does for that matter. I want you to stop doing that for a second so that you can seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. His kingdom and his righteousness. Now, here's what he means by that. Here's what that would look like. Here's what he's implying. He's saying like, hey, if you could start from scratch, which by the way, you can, you're in charge of your calendar and your life. And if you could just like start from zero and build your life however you wanted, which you can, if you had like a new day or a new week or a new year and you wanted to build it in such a way that you would ensure that you wouldn't end up back where you always do and where everybody else does, but instead that you wanted to build your life and order your life the way Jesus is inviting you to, what you would do is you would put the rocks in first. Right out of the gate, right off the top, you would put the rocks in first. And according to Jesus, what he's saying is even more specific. Like I said, he always gets so specific, like so disruptively specific. He's like, no, not just the rocks in first. I want you to take this rock right here. I want you to put it in first. I want you to take God and your relationship with him and all the energy, time, and attention required to connect with your creator and discover his will for your life. And I just want you to go ahead and go blip and put that in first. And wouldn't you know it, it fits. Look at that. Who would have thunk? Imagine God getting a little cheeky right now. Being like, no way. Look at me in your life. But this is just the beginning. I mean, Jesus does love to get so disruptively specific. He goes, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So put God in first. But that's just the beginning, because when you seek his kingdom, it's not just God that goes in first. What's important to him goes in first as well, right? Like his will for your life, his priorities for you. They go in first along with him. And so that means you go and you grab your marriage and you're like, yeah, I'm gonna put that in first or technically second, but in the same, you know, I'm gonna put it in first as well, because this is a massive priority in the kingdom of heaven. And then you're gonna grab your parenting, your kids, your family, and you're gonna put that one in. I mean, a major priority in the kingdom of God. You as a parent, that's a major value in the kingdom of heaven. And then go grab your friendships and your health, and you go ahead and put that in. That's a majorly important thing to God. That's a major priority in the kingdom of heaven. And then go grab your career and your talents and the things that you're gifted to do and called to do and need to do in this world, not just for your family, but for those around you, and put those things in. And go take all the rocks of your life, the God and what's important to God, and go ahead and put them in first. Not last, not if there's time, not on top, not when I get to it. No, you put them in first. Jesus is saying, like, hey, if you got a new day, or you got a new week, or you got a new year, and you want to be sure that you don't end up back in the same exact place that you always do, that your life actually fits and the things that are important fit, then this is what you need to do. Build your life like this. Rebuild your life like this. Reorder it like this. Seek first. Seek first. Put first things first, as we say. Don't just, this is important, don't just have priorities, practice priorities. You know, there's a huge difference between those. Rocks on top of the sand, that's having priorities. Everybody has priorities. Rocks going in first, that's practicing priorities. Jesus saying, hey, you wanna know what the secret is? Seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. Build your life like that. Okay, so let's pray. Go home. To which you'd be like, nah, no way. I imagine his audience would be the same if he had just ended there. Excuse me, Jesus. That's all cute and great and really spiritual and all, but there's a whole bucket of sand right here that you conveniently left out. And not only is there some life stuff in here that's like just gotta go in, like, hey, I gotta sleep, gotta eat, gotta pee. You know, that's just gonna happen. So, you know, we might have like, work that out. But on top of that, there's also some random stuff in life that I literally am not going to live without, okay? Because don't forget, Netflix is in here, okay? Netflix is in here, okay? Some of you are like, golf! Golf is in there! Oh my goodness, golf is in there. Shopping! Shopping is in there! Can I get an amen? Shopping is still in here. We have an emergency. What in the world about this stuff? You're not done. We're not done. You haven't even... You're still sitting over here. I know I'm getting all excited, but just shows you how much I feel what you're feeling. And I just want to make two observations in response to that. Observation number one. As it stands, yeah, there are some things that are left out of your life, but don't miss this. What's left out is of least importance. What's left out is of least consequence. How amazing is that? Or hey, how amazing would that be if that was how your life was built? That what was left out, if it was, it was of least importance. It was of least consequence. Don't miss that. But observation number two, though, to be fair, is there's still room in here. It's gonna be okay. There's still room in here, you know? Like, you gotta sleep. Okay, there's time for that. You know, you gotta eat and get ready and hygiene and whatever. There's time for that. You wanna play video games? Look at there. You wanna, I don't know, get your nails done. You wanna go shopping? You wanna mow the grass? Upgrade your Roomba? Binge watch Yellowstone season 4? You know, yeah. There's still room in here. Look at this. Isn't that crazy? There's still room. Y'all, this is the exact observation that Jesus ends his teaching with. And I think it's so important. He's so brilliant. He doesn't leave things like halfway said. This is what he ends with. He says, hey, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things, referring back to the sand, the things that you're worried about, all these things will be given to you as well. Or added to you as well. And this might sound like too good to be true, but it is a promise he's offering you from God. And the promise is this: when you practice priority, when you seek first God and what's most important in life, God will make sure that these things are added to you. He will take care of you. God will make sure, he will take personal responsibility for making sure that the sand you were so worried about, but that you trusted him with, that it gets added back into your life in the way and the amount that you really need. That's what God will do. That's what God will do. Y'all, this is the power of priority right here. This is the power of pre-deciding what's important. I wrote it down this way. When you seek first, what you end up doing is you add to your life. When you get things in the right order and when you put first things in first, you create more space in your life. Like your life starts to feel bigger. Whether it is or not, your life feels bigger. It feels more productive. It feels more fruitful. Why? Because you are using it far more wisely. You are ordering it far more wisely. And so that means you can fit more in it. And more importantly, you can fit more of the right things in it. Like you don't have rocks that are sticking out. You don't have priorities that are being cheated. You don't have people that are getting frustrated. Why? Because you built your life wisely. You sought first. And when you do that, you will add to your life. You'll add to your life. But not only that, when you seek first, this is also important, especially if you're a Christian, you'll add God to your life. When you seek first, you add God to your life, because remember the God rock, I think, is he that one? I don't know, he might be down here. But like when you look at this, and then again, this is just an illustration. Oh, I meant to say this. Let me back up. I told you that you add to your life. This is really important. I can't skip over it, so I'm gonna go back. I'm not saying that when you seek first and add to your life that all the sand's gonna fit in. This is a really important thing to acknowledge and to point out. When you seek first, it will by necessity mean that there are some things you seek last and some things that you seek never. That's just gonna happen. And I didn't want that to go unsaid. That's why I intentionally tried to leave some sand in the glass here just so that you could see that that's probably gonna happen. Like it is highly unlikely that all of the Netflix watching and the golf plan and the like midday naps that you would add into your life without priorities are gonna make it into a life that has them. That's highly unlikely, and you know what? It's probably a higher percentage than what's in here right now. I mean, this is just an illustration. The ratios and the percentages, they're not like scientific. They're just like representative. But it is inevitable that when you seek first, that you will lose some sand, that some of the sand that you would have put otherwise, they won't make it into your life. But here's the deal. You won't miss it. You're not going to miss it. Why? Because everything that is important is already in there, and you are trusting God with all the rest. So I'm so glad I didn't forget to say that. But when you seek first, you add to your life. You add to your life. Now, secondly, when you seek first, you add God to your life. Like I said, when life is too full, I mean, most of the time, when it's not built wisely, most of the time, God is one of the things that doesn't quite fit in your life. But what I love about this illustration is I think what Jesus is saying is like, hey, not only is God in this way in your life, but he is brushing up against everything else in your life. And that is what you want. Some of you pray for this all the time. And that's one of the things Jesus is inviting you to. He's like, hey, when you seek me first, when you put me like down in the middle of your life, I'll start impacting all of it. I'll start getting involved in all of it. I'll start blessing and putting in order in like the whole thing. And I don't know about you, but like what percentage of God's involvement and influence do you want in your life in this coming year? And I'm like, man, I'd like it to look like this. I don't want to be like sticking out the side. No room. When you seek first, you add to your life and you add God to your life. And I'm telling you, if you want some light for the way forward in this coming year, do that. Do this. Identify what's important and put it in first. Practice priority. Don't just have it. Practice priority. Identify what's most important and put it in your life first. I think this is an exercise every single person in the whole church and the whole community should do. Why? Because if you do, it will light your way and light your way powerfully. And here's how. Here's how practicing priority becomes a really powerful light in your life. Because when you put something in first, it impacts your calendar and informs your conscience. That's what happens. Let me say that again. When you put something in first, it does two really important things. It impacts your calendar, like literally, and it impacts your calendar and it informs your conscience so that when future you decides you want to go back to living like everybody else and you want to live out of line with what's most important in your life, you will not succeed because you will find yourself in a fight with your calendar and your conscience. And both of those will be there to say, no, 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 you can't do that. You have to do this. And in that moment, you will find a lamp to your feet and a light to your path to take you where you want to go. And if you're a Christian, I'm telling you, man, this is even more of a big deal for us, because this isn't just a life tip. This is about God's plan for your life. This is how you can experience not just light in general, but like the light and the lamp of God, your heavenly Father. This is how you can experience, or one of the big ways that you can experience the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, by letting him lead ahead of time. You gotta let him lead ahead of time. Like, let him lead right now by pre-deciding what is important and setting those things up as guardrails in your calendar and your conscience, so that when 6 months from now, when you get all turned around or you get tempted away, the Holy Spirit will be there armed with your calendar and your conscience to go, hey, son, no, come this way. Hey, daughter, don't forget, seek first my kingdom. I'll handle the rest. Just trust me. And he will be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. So that's what I want to challenge you to do. What do you want to do with what we just heard? I want you to practice priority. I'm gonna do it too. I'd love for you to join me in practicing priority. You got one of these when you came in. And I want you to use this to practice priority. I want you to take this and I want you to try to do this today or within the next couple of days. Don't put this off. But I would like for you to take a moment. I would for you to write down 3 things that are your priorities in the coming year. What's most important? Go identify what's most important. If you need to have a conversation with a friend, a spouse, a mentor, or whatever, do it. That's great. Identify what's most important. I want you to write it down. It could be more than 3, but I want you to at least get 3, okay? And I'll give you a hint. If Jesus was writing them, he would put God on one of those. That's what we just read. But then you go from there. What is most important to you? Identify what's most important, write it down, and then I want you to get like really crazy with it. I want you to get really crazy with it. I want you to take what's written on here, however many there are, and I want you to put them on your calendar. You mean like an event on your calendar? Yeah, I mean like an event on your calendar. I want you to put them like an event on your calendar going out for the next quarter of your life. That's 3 months. I want you to, don't just have them. Writing them down, that's having priorities. Putting them on your calendar, you're starting to practice them now. And that's what I want you to do. I already did it. You can see my calendar. You'd see the weirdest calendar events. I like fake their names. So if anybody shared my calendar, they're like, what is that? I've already done it. I want you to identify what's important. And I want you to put it in first. As evidenced by, you're going to put it on your calendar. If you don't have a calendar, you probably should have one. But you can set like a recurring alarm. You know, maybe that's an alternative. But talk to somebody about the calendar. They might help you with that. And I'm going to send you an email tomorrow with some examples of things that I have put on my calendar and that maybe you could put on yours. We're not going to have the same life. We're not going to have the same priorities. That's fine. That's not what I mean. But I'm going to try to arm you with some ideas tomorrow in an email. But here's just a couple practical ones. If you want to put God in first, it might mean you put your time with him on your calendar. I mean, you got meetings with your boss on your calendar. And God's like your boss's creator. And boss, you know, maybe he could have a calendar invite, you know, maybe he could get a little one of them little sections. Or if you're going to put your family in first, maybe you put family dinner on your calendar and not on the personal one that nobody sees, like the work one. And you're like, I have a meeting. And yeah, I mean, it's a special circumstances. We can delete that. That's fine. Sometimes there's seasons, but no, I mean, I got to get home because I'm putting in first. Things like that. I'm gonna send you an email tomorrow, but man, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's seek first. Let's seek first. Why? Because we trust God with the rest. And we want to fully participate in the kingdom that is coming. We don't want the way that we build our lives to prevent us from living for what's most important. You do this, it's gonna light your way. May you see a lamp into your feet and a light into your path by simply letting God lead ahead of time, by pre-deciding what's important. Go practice priority. And it'll be a lamp to your feet. Let me pray for us. We'll go on. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just give us a dissatisfaction maybe with the way we traditionally build our lives. And give us enough courage to ask some really great questions, questions that you're giving us, Jesus. Like, hey, what's most important? What's most important? And I pray that we would identify it and that we would just decide, I'm going to put it in first. And not in theory. I'm not just going to have priorities. I'm going to practice them. I'm going to put it on my calendar. And I'm going to show up. May we do that, God, and may we experience in the process you leading the way like never before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.